And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in this Advent season, as we prepare, as God directs us to do so, one of the greatest ways to be prepared is to be aware. To be aware of what God has revealed to us clearly in His Word, so that when the Lord does return, that we will be fully prepared when that time comes, and even more so that we live our lives each and every day in that awareness and that preparation. But awareness is what I'd like us to think about this morning. Pretty important to be aware of things, isn't it? You know, I can still remember vividly, I was at a family reunion in 1987 out on the West Coast, and the news came out that a commercial jet had crashed in Detroit, and there were well over 100 people that were on this commercial aircraft. And when the investigation was done, they found out that they attempted to take off without the flaps set. And the flaps are an extension of the wing, even reshapes the wing. But at low speed, every commercial aircraft needs to have that additional wing space and shape in order to fly at those low speeds. And they simply forgot to set the flaps. If you've ever been sitting on a jet, I always like to sit behind the wing and watch the wing, but you'll see the flaps come down. You'll even hear the screw jacks a lot of times when they're running as they push them into those positions. But it's really sad that many could have seen as they were taxiing to the runway and as they were even starting to their takeoff procedure, if they would have been aware, they would have known that that plane wouldn't fly. And they could have yelled at somebody to say, stop the plane or get the crew's attention. But it didn't happen. And because the pilots were unaware, 100-plus people and crew died on that tragic day. Awareness, such an important thing. And so as we think about the gospel reading this morning, isn't it wonderful that our Lord Jesus Christ comes to us through His Word so that we can be aware? And so I'd like to take you through some of the things that Jesus reveals to us this morning. Very clear messages, and yet by the history of the world, we see how many have been greatly unaware or greatly confused by what Jesus has revealed. And so from Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 36, Jesus says, "But concerning that day," meaning the day when He's going to return, meaning judgment day, "but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only." Nobody knows the day or the hour. Now let me ask you this, how many times have you heard prophecies in your lifetime of the day when the world's going to end and even the day and the hour? Have you ever heard that? There are church bodies like Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses. Many times we're predicting different days, and finally it failed so many times, I think they've stopped doing that. But we've heard people like Jim Jones, of course, he presented himself as Christ. But Heaven's Gate, remember that one? And very intelligent, some very wealthy people gave everything they had and followed this deceiver. And how did they get lured into this? It was simply because they were not aware or they didn't believe what Jesus clearly reveals to us. No one knows. And no matter how charismatic someone may seem to be, no matter how confident and assertive someone may seem to be, and they come and they claim they know, you know it's a lie. You immediately know it's a deception. And in all these cases, or in many of them, there were a lot of lives that were lost because they bought into the lie in their unawareness of the truth. But praise God, he reveals the truth to us. And it's not that complex. Concerning that day and hour, no one knows. And if we can just hang on to that truth, it will be the filter system for all of the deception and false prophecies that promote that they know. And then Jesus goes on to say, for as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. Now, nothing wrong with that in terms of what they're doing with their lives, right? I mean, they're doing the normal processes that we go through in life. Eating and drinking, obviously, those are necessities for us each and every day. There's nothing evil in that. And certainly marrying and giving into marriage, God instituted marriage. It's by His design and blessing. And so certainly there's nothing wrong in living in that style. But what's the problem here? Remember the rebellion of the people? In fact, they had become so wicked that God determined He was going to destroy all of the world, all living things, including all humankind. And yet, we know by His grace, Noah and his family remained in faith, and God spared their lives. God instructed Noah to build that ark, and he did, and then the floodwaters came, and most of the world perished as a result of that. Why? Well, Jesus goes on to say, they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. So they're busy with their lives, they're doing what we do in life on this earth, and going about their daily business, but had no regards for God, no concerns about God's will, and certainly no concern or awareness that the end could come so suddenly. And they perished as a result of their unawareness. And you know, they weren't unaware because God didn't attempt to reveal His truth to them, by the way. You know, Noah, in Peter's second epistle, Noah is spoken of as one who proclaimed righteousness. So Noah proclaimed God's word. And yet the tragedy is nobody was willing to listen. Well, think about our culture today. And praise God that we can be here by His grace. Praise God that God has instilled in our hearts faith and the desire that we want to grow in our understanding of His Word, that we really do want to hear God's truth, that we really do want to seek His will. But that's not the majority of the culture you and I live in. That's not really the focus of this Advent Christmas season, right? It's mostly about money. You know, we got to get advertisement out there as fast as we can. We got to get the Christmas stuff out there as early as we can. Why? Because we want to make big sales. And there's nothing wrong with part of that, I guess. There's things we need. There's things we can use, as Mr. Whitney shared with the kids in preparation, even like the items here in the sanctuary. But when we lose focus of Christ, then the unawareness is there, and the separation is there. And for those who should know, I mean, it's flaunted upon us every year. You can't miss it. They should know in all of that there must be something behind all this. And of course, we're blessed to know Jesus' comings. So that they were unaware was because of their rebellion. And the unawareness of many today is for the same reason. But you know what? The Lord is going to return. And Jesus makes that very clear. And just as it came suddenly, the flood, so the Lord's return will come suddenly and be an absolute shock to the majority of people. And then the separation is instantly going to be happening. Quite a way Jesus puts it, isn't it? That two men will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. The emphasis Jesus is making is there's this instant separation of the church from the unbelieving world. It's not like this is going to be a gradual process. People can rethink through these things, but when the Lord comes, it is suddenly. And think about that in light of your own family, in light of neighbors, friends, coworkers, people you socialize with. Imagine being with them and then, boom, that quickly, suddenly you're separated for eternity. That should give us a more keen insight, right? To really wonder and question where their hearts are, because we want to bring everyone with us. God's desire is that everyone would be saved. And to bring that awareness to those who do not yet believe. And so Jesus then goes to the therefores. So in light of what he's just shared with the world, with you and me individually, Jesus says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. So stay awake. And how do we stay awake? Obviously, the world is awake during the daytime, most of the world, right? Physically awake and at work or doing whatever we do. But here Jesus is speaking of spiritual alertness, that we are awake spiritually. And how do we stay awake? Well, first and foremost, that we're in the Word of God, right? That daily, the first priority of our lives is to have that devotional time, to be in the Word, to allow the Lord to speak to our hearts. And when we do that daily, God's Word is powerful. It is life-changing. And being in His Word daily reveals His will and gives us that constant awareness of the truth in the mix of all of the deceptions that we see in the world. To stay awake is to be a person of prayer, that we are in prayer ongoing in our lives. It is staying awake is to be in worship. And praise God, we can come as we do to this place and we can worship together. It's very powerful. Here God's Word is read, it is proclaimed, it is studied. We receive the Lord's Supper and we experience these awesome baptisms and we see God working in His church, nurturing us. And we need that, and that's part of this awakeness that Jesus speaks of. And to be in fellowship together, that we're not lone rangers out there, but that we're together as God's people to encourage and cheer each other in the faith. And if any of us strays, that we bring one another back to the truth. And just that awareness constantly ongoing in our lives. It's who we are, to stay awake. But know this, Jesus says, if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not let his house be broken into. Makes sense, right? Have you ever had a thief call you up and say, by the way, I'm going to be at your house at 1:30 tomorrow morning, and I plan on just ransacking your house, taking everything? Does a thief do that? Be pretty stupid, right? Why? Because you're going to be aware and you're going to be prepared. And that's Jesus' point. I remember out on our farm, we had some very large diesel and gas fuel tanks. And we had a problem where somebody was coming in the middle of the night stealing gas. And so when we were aware of what was going on, guess what? We had somebody that was awake, waiting for the next time when this person showed up, and we caught him. And that's being that alert, having that alert spirit to be awake and aware. And so the Lord uses these really awesome examples that we can clearly understand. And then one more, therefore, from Jesus. Therefore, you also must be ready. So just like the thief can come at any time in the night unexpectedly, Jesus says, therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. But he is coming. Maybe this afternoon, might be next week, maybe 1,000 years from now. Only God knows. And you know, isn't it wonderful? We don't have to know. The Lord doesn't want us to try and figure this out. He doesn't want us to waste our energy and time in that realm, as many do. But to be about the work of alertness, awareness, and being awake in our faith. And most of all, knowing God's grace and his love. And in light of that, I want to share from Hebrews, because you and I, we live in a very special time. The Lord has already come once. And we know that, and we have heard the Lord, as we do again this morning, speak to us. But in Hebrews 1:1-2, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. And then into chapter 2, we hear these words. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. And we live in this time. We live with the Spirit distributing his gifts. We live with Pentecost being a historical event. We live knowing the truth. We live knowing the greatness of God's love. That's us. That's the church. And by God's grace, we are prepared. We are aware. But let me ask you this. As a private pilot, if I'm sitting on a commercial jet, nobody else is paying attention, and we're just about ready to start our takeoff roll, and the flaps haven't been extended, do you want me to just stay quiet about that? No way, right? I would be getting a flight attendant's attention or somebody and say, look at the wing. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, those people died physically. Only God knows their hearts spiritually. But we're talking about spiritual death here. For those who are unaware, those who are not awake, those who are caught by surprise, those who have no faith, they're lost for eternity. And who's going to share with them? What an honor God bestows upon you and me. May he bless us. And what a season, because everybody's in, right? It doesn't matter what perspective or philosophy people have, they're into Christmas. This is a big deal. And what a wonderful venue to explain to others, have you ever thought of why we celebrate? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us new life and who blesses us with the certainty of coming back and receiving us home. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.